The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, it gives me great, great pleasure to welcome our next guest to the show because Ben Elton is with me. He is the genius behind Blackadder and The Young Ones and I don't know how many novels and musicals and movies and plays. And he is back on the road. He is bringing his stand-up comedy show to the Three Olympia Theatre in Dublin City Friday, the 1st of November. That show is called Authentic Stupidity. Ben, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak to us. I understand actually the premise for the show. It's that artificial intelligence isn't the existential threat we think it is, that maybe the real threat is our own stupidity, our authentic stupidity. I mean, was there a moment in time or a particular example that convinced you of that?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, the show is me doing what I'm doing. Any one of my stand-up shows over the last 43 years, Gould Elpis, could have been called Authentic Stupidity, because I think, you know, good comedy is about unpacking, as young people would say, unpacking the essential absurdity of being human, the way we act, the way we treat our planet, the way we treat each other, the way we think about ourselves. That's grist to the mill of a comedian, and it's all about authentic stupidity. But I gave the tour this title because, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think artificial intelligence is an existential threat to humanity. I think all these extraordinary new technologies that are being unleashed willy-nilly upon us without any consultation, without any regulation, and without any of the perpetrators paying any tax, as far as I can see, is outrageous. And I did have a sort of light bulb moment when Rishi Sunak had his AI summit about 18 months ago. And he had Elon Musk on. And Elon Musk said, bold as brass. He said, yeah, we think you're probably within 10 years, humanity itself will be redundant. Basically, every single job will be replaced by machinery and technology. And everyone's just grinning and sort of nodding. And Rishi Sunak's going, I'm thinking, he's the prime minister. This guy's obviously a terrorist. Bring in the SAS. You know, if a terrorist went on telly and said, we've got a machine that'll put you out of work, well, we'd know what to do about it. But because it's a bunch of unelected, unaccountable, tax-avoiding billionaires in California, we're all going, oh, well, apparently it could write a new Beatles song. So, you know, win some, lose some. You know, I think the best example of our authentic stupidity, you know, I mean, we keep doing it. As I say, you know, we invent the car, it's wonderful. But because we're too stupid to invest in public transport, the cars are choking our communities. You know, we're always too stupid for our own ingenuity. And I think AI is the best example of that. I mean, the ingenuity creates machinery, technology of incalculable power, power to do bad as well as good. And we're too stupid to make sure it doesn't do the bad, and hence it does. And now we're watching the internet, which was supposed to democratize thinking and liberate thought. And of course, it's destroying democracy in real time because basically it's introduced a post-truth age, which, frankly, I saw coming because I know how stupid we are. I'm a comedian.
So your fear then is not so much artificial intelligence itself, but just how we use it. Like the same way, I guess, the internal combustion engine isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just how it kind of manifested itself.
I'm not a Luddite. I know things can't go back, but I actually think the technology now, yes, the Industrial Revolution put lots of people out of work, but, you know, it is what it is. And now we've all got much higher standard of living, etc. It's not a simple equation, but I think the technological revolution is actually even more impactful on the trajectory of humanity even than the Industrial Revolution. I think the idea that we all now carry a device in our pocket that puts us in contact with every other human being on the planet instantly, allows one single message to go to every human being, allows the exchange of misinformation, which is always more tempting. You know, they say, you know, a lie has gone around the world before the truth has got its shoes on. You know, it's a fact. And I think the consequences of the current Industrial Revolution, which is technological, are incalculable. And we do, to a certain extent, police the gains of the previous, you know, the Industrial Revolution. Yes, it stole a lot of jobs, but it bequeathed us the trade union movement. And I'm worried that there seems to be no regulation whatsoever currently. But we're getting very serious. I am a comedian. My tour is not about artificial intelligence. My tour is about authentic stupidity, and it's doing the same thing I always do. And going very well, I must say. For the first time, I seem to be being given, you know, wonderful reviews, and the audiences are loving. I speak to you from a hotel room in Leeds, where I'm doing a 2-night sellout, and I'm looking forward to bringing the show to Dublin.
Yeah, and listen, we're really looking forward to you coming to Dublin as well. How much does your comedy change over time? Because, you know, it's like when your kids are growing up, you don't notice it. And then you meet someone, they haven't seen them in ages, and they say, oh my God, you know, they've kind of shot up through the roof or something. And I just wonder, because you've had that kind of hiatus from tour, that you probably have a keener sense of how your comedy has changed, more maybe than somebody who's kind of continually on tour and maybe has less a sense of their own evolution.
You know, that's very astute. I talk about that. That's the first 5 minutes, really. I mean, the fact that when I was young, I was very sure of myself. I knew what I thought about the world. I laid down the law, banging on about a little bit of politics and all of that. And now I'm bewildered. And really, because the revolution in ideas is happening just as it always did. But I'm now old and I'm trying to catch up. When you're young, you're the change. When you're old, you're trying to catch up with and understand the change. So partly my act is no longer a self-assured, passionate young man. It's a slightly bewildered, still passionate, but confused old man. I mean, the whole identity politics, the whole gender revolution, the new ideas, which the young generation is sort of seeming to take for granted and in their stride, which people of my age find confusing and perplexing, to say the least. You know, there's a lot of comedy to be had there, but I definitely find myself as a comic. I still stand in my truth, as young people say. But my truth is a kind of, wow, give us a minute. I'm trying to work all this out. And so, my perspective is that I used to talk about what I know. Now I talk about what I don't understand. I still have principle in my work, and there's still a bit of laying down the law here and there. But I'm a bit of a bewildered old git on stage.
And is the challenge in that then, like from a comedian's point of view, that you don't want to cross the line into a version of, you know, old man raging against the dying of the light type stuff?
Well, I talk about that. Have you seen my show?
I actually haven't, but you can give me a writing credit if you want.
I constantly refer to, I don't want to be that old man shouting at clouds. And I'm not, because I think I'm coming at it from various positions, as I always have. I was never as left as the Daily Mail would have me. And I was never as right as the, you know, the zealots of the far left would have me. But I do believe that, you know, the left absolutely always destroys itself, because it allows itself to be captured by zealots who you know, are all into Orwellian thought crime. And if you don't agree with the party line, you know, you're out. And I've always taken a much more nuanced and reasonable, I hope, approach to my politics and politics in general. I mean, there's not that much politics in my act, or actually very little, but there's a lot of social politics, in as much as I'm talking about the changing ideas and where I stand in it as a family man, as a married straight bloke with kids, etc. I'm not an old man raging at clouds, but I play with the idea that I might be presenting as such. That's another word we use these days. I might be presenting as such.
It's funny there, though, that you're talking about, you know, the left and right, because I was listening to Tony Blair. He was on with Sophie Ridge on Sky a few weeks ago, and he has this new book out on leadership, I think it's called. And he was talking a bit about that, about saying that, you know, he kind of considers that the centre has died to a degree in politics. And what he described it as is not that the centre is this, you know, mushy ground between left and right. It's more that, you know, the centre is about not being beholden to zealots on either side and just kind of being solutions focused to a degree and willing to compromise. I just thought it was an interesting point.
I think to a certain extent he's right. And as long as the centre is left of centre, I'm happy with the centre. And we had a post-war consensus for 25 years in Britain, and I imagine to a certain extent in Ireland as well, which was the whole world after the disaster of the years of dictators and the Second World War shifted to the left. And there was a presumption, even on the Tory side, that the community was the basis of the health of the nation. It wasn't about individuals. It was about, if we uplift the community, then everyone will prosper. And that was the post-war consensus, born out of the massive community effort that was fighting World War II. And Thatcher and Reagan shattered that. They brought it all the way back to right of centre, and quite a long way right of centre, the idea that the only individuals can save the world, only strong men, only great ideas, only enriching individuals will bring everyone up with them. And I find that despicable. And so, yeah, I don't mind a bit of centre, but not if it's centre right.
And are you encouraged by Keir Starmer's premiership, or is it too soon to tell?
No, I mean, he's a centrist. I mean, obviously, I know I'm practical. There isn't, you have to pay for things. Yeah, I'm delighted that we now have a Labour government. I think Britain was the shame of the world without, I mean, I don't hate all Tories, but I mean, I certainly hated Boris Johnson. And I think he is an enemy of democracy, almost, not quite, but on a Trumpian level, because he was prepared for his own venal self-interest to destroy the institutions which protect us, the law, the courts. They're not always great, of course. But to see Tories accusing High Court judges of being enemies of the people because they were trying to say, hang on, Parliament has to decide on Brexit. You can't, a referendum is not legally binding. It's not the will of the people. It has to actually be then, the laws have to be made. And let's not go into all of that. For God's sake, how did we get onto this? I'm a comedian. I do knob gags.
I know. Your publicist is thinking, oh, Jesus, he's talking about politics. They're on the spectrum of left and right. Get back on message.
Most of my act is not even touching any. It's about, you know, living at home, me and my wife, you know, sex life in your 60s, whatever. You know, I talk about the stuff we all talk about. And as I say, going for an all new material. I started the tour last time in Dublin, which is a nice way to do it. It's very fresh, but it's also less honed. The show I'm bringing to you now, I've already done for the last month, and it is in good shape. So I think people will have a good time.
I'm sure they will. Do you enjoy being on the road?
I really enjoy the audiences. I mean, it's quite hard work. You know, it's just me. I do two and a quarter hours of stand up every night, and I talk quickly. And, you know, you got to, like, I've washed my smalls out in the old hotel sink. Sometimes you got to work your laundry out. And Sophie, my wife, was with me for the first 3 weeks, and that was lovely. She was my wag. Her choice, not mine, I hasten to add, and her description. But now it's just me and the tour manager, and I certainly don't get him to sort my pants out. So, yeah, the road is as hard as it ever was in terms of actually, you know, one-night stands in every town. But I love the interaction with the audience. When I say interaction, I mean their laughter, my talking. I don't do hecklers, and I don't do audience participation. For me, it's a conversation, and their half is the laughter. And if I've made my point, if I've constructed what I think is some quite delicate comic constructions, arriving hopefully at a point of hilarity, having brought lots of different ideas into play during the routine, you know, if they're laughing and if I get that culminative laugh, then the conversation is a success because their laughter is an understanding of my point. And if they don't laugh, I've failed to communicate. And my job all my life has been to communicate, to write words that intrigue and hopefully delight.
Well, it is November 1st in the 3 Olympia, ticketmaster.ie if you want to get your hands on the last few tickets. It is called the show Authentic Stupidity, and it includes knob jokes. Ben, thank you.
Tasteful ones. Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.